My sermon this morning is God Calls Us to Excellence. And really, this has kind of been on my mind for several weeks because a couple weeks ago, I led the youth. Tammy asked me to come and, you know, kind of give my testimony and also teach the youth on a Wednesday evening. So this was kind of what God laid on my heart, you know, excellence. You know, what is excellence? You know, what does it mean to be excellent? And sometimes we maybe get those confused, but somebody have a short definition of excellence. Back here with your hand up. Something with a challenge. What was the first part?
Completing a challenge.
Okay, completing a challenge. Okay. Anybody else? Got a definition of?
Admitting you're stubborn.
We had a talk with Dan in Sunday school this morning that he's stubborn. None of the rest of us are, but Dan has a problem with stubbornness. So we're going to work on him over the next several weeks, and hopefully this will kind of help him too to kind of get out of that. But, you know, sometimes we miss that idea of excellence and really kind of we're, hopefully I can get this to change. Maybe not. But we're going to be in Colossians 3. So if you want to turn in Colossians 3 is where we're going to start out. But, you know, my purpose today is that you would strive for excellence in your life. And I think that goes, you know, for everybody that's here. And this was something that, as I began to think about this, I began to study, you know, I really struggled when I taught with kids because they lacked this. You know, they didn't want to give their 100%. They didn't want to do their very best, and you would try to encourage them, but there was nothing you could do just to get them to do a little bit more. And as I continue to think about this, we're no different, right? As adults, as human beings, we sometimes lack that want to, that drive to do our best. I don't know if I'm a little hot up here. I'm getting a ring. So, but God has called us to be excellent. And not just our walk with Him, but even in our everyday life, to strive to do the best that we can do. And you know, like it says, it's not for our glory that He wants to strive, but it's all for His glory. Because if we admit it, right? What we do and how we act and how we live our lives reflects upon Him. We might worry about our own reputation. We might worry about what people think of us. But ultimately, if they know that we're a believer, that we're a Christian, then it reflects upon Him. And that's why He calls us to be excellent. And like I said, sometimes we get mixed up between success and excellence. Because as I was kind of finalizing my prep this morning and you know, wanting some kind of illustration to start out with, you, whenever you type in that, you know, a story of excellence, you always come up with success. You know, the story of this person being successful, the story of these people doing great things. And we look at excellence as reaching the top of the mountain kind of thing. That excellence part of it is not necessarily there. But I found this quote from Brian Harbour in his book, Rising Above the Crowd. It says, success means being the best. Excellence means being your best. Success to many means being better than everyone else. Excellence means being better tomorrow than you were today, yesterday. Success means exceeding the achievements of other people. Excellence means matching your practice with your potential. We look at success, and sometimes we, as believers, we shy away from success because, or excellence, because we think it's success, that we have to be better than somebody else, that we have to do better than other people. And you know, the Bible also calls us to be humble, right? And sometimes successful people aren't humble. And so we kind of shy away from that. But God has called us to excellence. And that last, you know, those couple sentences, being better today than what you were yesterday. Or that last part, matching your practice with your potential. You know, potential is, what am I capable of doing? You know, I had straight-A students, and I knew they were straight-A students, and they had that potential, but they wouldn't strive to get there sometimes. They lacked that want to for excellence. But I also had straight-C students. Not that that's bad. Might be some of you in here. It's fine. Nate Morris, I know. Sorry. I had to pick on somebody, kind of calm the nerves down. But, you know, it doesn't matter if that student was a straight C student, but he was giving me 100%. He was doing better than that straight A student because he was matching what he could do. That he was doing everything that he could do,
to make to that sea. And sometimes that's the way we are in life, right? Sometimes we can do everything right, but we still fall short. We still don't line up with what God wants us to do because we need more practice. We need to depend on Him more, whatever that might be. But hopefully as we look through this today, that we have that calling in our life to be excellent, that we have that calling to do better than what we are right now, that tomorrow should look different than what it does today in a lot of different ways. So let's read in Colossians 3. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then we'll go back through it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. So if you have been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not on what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah and God. When the Messiah, who is you, life is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death whatever in you is worldly, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil, desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath comes on the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now you must also put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his practices, and have put on the new man, who is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of his Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. And with whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, be submissive to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and don't become bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing in the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so they won't become discouraged. Slaves, obey your human masters and in everything. Don't work only while being watched in order to please men, but work wholeheartedly, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically, and as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong he has done, and there is no favoritism. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for that call that you have for us to be excellent, Lord. That sometimes that we wonder, what do you want us to do? But Lord, this is simply put, that you want us to do better. Lord, that we want to strive to do better. That we can't just sit back and coast. Lord, that you have things for us to do, and it calls for us to be excellent. And Lord, that as we look through these verses, that we'll see that it all plays together, that we all have to work together, but ultimately we do these things because of you and what your Son did on the cross for each and every one of us. And Lord, we just pray all these things in His name. Amen. So as we look at these verses today, I have two hows to strive for excellence and two whys we strive for excellence. So the first one, seek what is above. You know, as we look here in verses 1 through 17, is, you know, set our minds on what is above, not on what is on earth. Sometimes this is what we get caught up in. We get caught up in, I got this and this to do. I have things I have to get done, but we need to be worrying about what God needs us to get done. What are the things that we need to do for God? Come to church on Sunday morning. How easy is it to say, I'm not going to come this morning. It's pretty outside. Deer season's right around the corner. All you hunters are going to say, I'm going to sit in the deer stand this morning and praise God. I'm not going to go any farther than that. Let God deal with your heart on that one. But, you know, God wants us to worry about what's above. You know, think about the matters of his kingdom. There's people that need to hear the gospel. There's people that need to see you live out the gospel. We have to be aware of that and not just worry about ourselves. You know, we talked about in family groups this morning, you know, that providential care that God has, those plans that he has already laid out for us, right? If we live a life that we truly believe that, then we will live a life not worrying about ourselves, but what God wants us to do and has for us to do. We can sit back and worry all we want, but that will not change anything. We have to put our mind on what is above. Set your minds on what is above, not on what is on the earth, for you have died and life is hidden with the Messiah. You know, those are the old things that we have to put away, that we don't go back to. And we, in verses 5 through 9, we see those things that we need to put to death. And I kind of group these into two different groups, but you know, we have these big sins that Paul talks about first, and then these little sins, right? The big ones, the sexual immorality, the lust, the impurity, the lust, the evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And we're to put those to death because of God's wrath. He's going to punish those disobedient to follow those. And as a believer, we shouldn't want to do those things. We should have no desire to do those things. But I think we kind of sometimes skip over the next list, because these are kind of, well, the gray area maybe that we want to call it. But they're all sin. They're all things that we do that we shouldn't be doing. You know, in verse 8, but now you must also put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his practices. That is the old life. You know, sometimes we say, well, I'm not that bad because I didn't do all that first stuff, right? The second thing is, yeah, every now and then, so I'm really not, I'm still okay because I don't do it every day. But that's not the point. The point is, that's the way you used to be before God saved you, before you had that forgiveness. And we have to put that to death. If we put that to death and we don't worry about those things, then our mind focuses on what's above. We renew our minds, as we'll read here in a second, you know, on those things that he has for us. We put off those old practices. How often do those draw us back? How often do those trip us up? We worked cows yesterday, so don't ask my kids what my language was like. Trust me, God has dealt with me that. As I prepare for this, it's like, oh, yeah, I said that yesterday. Now I'm up here preaching. We stumble, we fall, there's that forgiveness, but we shouldn't have that desire to do those things. That shouldn't be the focus of our life when people look at it. It should be Christ. It should be God working through us. But we take those off and we put on God's attributes, as we see in 10, verses 10 through 17, and putting on that new man. We're called to that excellence, knowledge, renewed in knowledge according to the image of his creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew. There's no division here. We're all believers. We're all in Christ, and that's all that matters. We're all created by him. But therefore, God, chosen ones, holy in love, put on heart-filled compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, accepting one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you. The Lord has forgiven us a lot, right? Whether we want to admit it or not, or maybe we don't even admit it, but we know that we have a lot that needs to be forgiven. There's things that we do in our lives that maybe we've done in our past, and we need that forgiveness, and God provides that. But we have to do away with that old person and become that new person that he wants to do us and live in this way. And we have to dwell richly together and with him. You know, accepting one another, forgiving one another. That's the great thing about a church family. As we look at each other, we come from all different backgrounds. We have all different experiences, but we accept each other. We love each other because of what Christ did on the cross, right? And I'll talk about that here in a second, that we need all of us. Not just Nick or Scott or whoever's up here preaching. It's the church that matters. We have to seek was above, and you know, the Messiah above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of the Messiah, in which you were also called into one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. We live in unity because of what Christ has done. We live in unity because of his work on the cross. But now we take those things that we've learned from Scripture, we take those things that we've learned from our life, and we help each other. You know, we teach each other. Not just in family groups, you know, or not just in the discipleship groups. Maybe somebody comes to you with a problem, and we need to look to Scripture to help them through that and teach them through that. Or maybe we see people doing something, and we use Scripture to say, hey, you're not doing what God has called you to do. You're not being that person that God wants you to be. You've kind of slipped back into that old man. And as a believer, I should welcome that criticism, that rebuke. It's hard to do, right? Because we don't like to be told that we're doing something wrong. Even though we know maybe we're doing something wrong, we don't like it. But we need people in our lives that are willing to do that. We need to be those kind of people that reach out and do that for others. And we do that giving thanks, singing to God that we have those opportunities, that we have that those brothers and sisters in our lives that we can help. My second how: be happy to do your best. Be happy to do your best. Why do we get off thinking that we can just skate through life and not give our 100%? We have gifts and talents that God has given us that we do not use to our full potential. Right? I asked the youth a few nights ago, and I won't ask them again and embarrass them because they all lied. I asked if they give their 100%. See, thank you. Tammy agrees with me.
Just don't say you want.
I was getting to that point. Tammy kind of misses out on what a sermon is. It's kind of, unless you're asking a question, you're supposed to talk. We're still working on her here. But I asked, do you give your 100%? And, you know, some of us say, oh, yeah, I did. I'll pick on Preston. Is that better? Preston's like, oh, yeah, I gave my 100% because I had to have surgery on my elbow. And I said, but did your arm fall off? So did you give your 100%? No, it didn't fall off. So did you give your 100%? Can we ask ourselves that this morning? Do every day, 365 days a year, do I give 100% to God? Do I give 100% to my work? Do I give 100% to my family? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because I don't want to see the liars that are in here now. Because the answer is no for all of us. We all have those days that we just don't feel like it, right? We all have those days that we're struggling with something else and I can't give my 100% to work, or I can't give my 100% to my family because I'm dealing with something else. There's those days that I deal with those same things and I'm not giving my 100% to God. But he wants us to. He's called us to. Verse 22, or 18 through 22. I'm not going to read 18 through 21. I'll let Nick have a sermon on those later on. But those are relationships that we have in our lives, right? Each one of those are something that we all have. Whether we're a spouse, a child, a parent, whatever it might be, we have those relationships. And God is saying, here, you need to be like this. Don't be like the world that sometimes walks away from these relationships, that sometimes neglects these relationships. He says, you need to be different. Verse 18, the slaves, you know, we don't have slaves, but we all have jobs, right? Human masters, obey your human masters in every day, everything. Don't work only while being watched, in order to please men, but work wholeheartedly for fearing the Lord. Give everything that you have to God. He has put you in your job for a reason. He has put you in this church for a reason. He's put you in your family for a reason. Give everything that you have to those situations because you fear him, because he's forgiven you so much. Don't work just because you think, you know, don't slack off because you think nobody's watching. Right? God's always watching. That even goes with our work. And as adults, you know, we do that. We're around those people and we fall into those traps of, Oh, it's Monday, you know, that was my kind of joke I would talk about when I sold equipment. That's Monday, I don't want to get started too fast, right? You know, I got to kind of build up, and I'm going to peak about Wednesday, and then I got to go start going back down the hill the other way till Friday, about 12, and then we'll coast till 5 o'clock Friday afternoon, right? Who else does that? Robert's shaking his head, yes, so thank you, Robert. Nobody else? But that's not giving my 100%, and I joke about that. Yes, there was weeks that was kind of the mentality because it had been a long, long, hard week, but there's also those weeks that I did give my 100%, and that's the way it should always be, that I should do that no matter what, whether my boss was there watching me or not. Because if I was out in the country and I was trying to sell stuff, you know, there's people that knew that I worked for Modern Farm, and they caught me alongside the road taking a nap, they're probably going to tell my boss, right? Somebody's always watching. But don't think there's not somebody watching. But we do it because we fear the Lord. In every area of your life, no matter what, with your spouse, with your kids, with your work, give your 100%. We're called to be excellent. That's what excellent is all about, giving everything that we have. We might not be the best parent in the world. We might not be the best salesperson in the world, whatever our job is, but we need to do the best that we can do and learn from today and be better tomorrow. Not because it's going to grant us glory from people. That's not what we're looking for, but it's going to glorify God, because people are going to look at me and say, hey, you're doing way better than you were when you started, or a month ago. You know, what's the deal? Why are you trying to be that goody two-shoes? You a brown noser? And we hear those kind of things because we don't want people to get ahead of us, right? But we need to not worry about that and do the best that we can do because God has called us to do. We need to be enthusiastic, like it says in 23, as something done for the Lord and not for men, because we will receive a reward, our inheritance. Not here, but once we get to heaven, right? Enthusiastically. Show up on Monday morning. This is your challenge for the week. Show up tomorrow at your job and be the happiest person there. They're going to think, what have you been doing before you came to work this morning? They're going to kind of look at you funny, right? And do those jobs as best you can do. And if you need help, ask for help, but do it enthusiastically. Because God wants you to. We do it because of God. And that's my first why. Why do we strive for excellence? Because it's for the Lord. We are working for the Lord, not men. Home, work, church, every hour of the day, we're working. We're God's representatives here on earth, and we need to act that way. We need not to slack off just because I'm not in church anymore, so this afternoon's okay, it's my time. No, God wants us to be excellent all the time and work 100%. You know, we had that example, and I kind of thought back to Cain and Abel, right? We talked about this in family groups a few weeks ago. Cain and Abel, they brought their sacrifices to the Lord, right? One, God looked upon with favor, and the other one, he didn't. One was giving their best, the other one just brought stuff. And God gave Cain a warning. Sin is waiting for you. If you keep giving into this, you keep slacking off, you just keep giving this little bit of effort, sin is waiting for you. It's crouching and ready to pounce. And Cain didn't listen to the warning. Right? Because he followed through with that sin. He murdered his brother. You might not be in that situation, but sin is waiting. You're not giving 100%. You're not making sure that you're following God's words and that you're living with those and as it's dwelling richly within inside you. Sin is waiting. We have forgiveness of that sin, but don't even go there to start with. Right? Give your 100%. Turn in Romans chapter 12, and this kind of goes along with what we have, or what I was talking with Cain and Abel, you know, about bringing your best. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good and pleasing and perfect will of God. We can't be like the rest of the world. We can't be like those people that we go to work and they're complaining about it's Monday morning, or they're complaining about they're not getting paid what they think they ought to get paid, or they're complaining and complaining. We can't be like that. We have a job to do. We need to do it with everything that we have. God has called us to a purpose. He's called us to a reason to be a part of His body. We need to do that with everything that we have. We can't be like the world. We have to be different. We have to step out. And even in today's world, we get caught up in so many different things. We entangle ourselves in discussions and disputes and arguments. And we miss the point of what God has us to here for. The gospel. We miss that we should be living that out, that we should be sharing that with others. My second why. Did I do something wrong? Stop clicking the button. Is that what you said? My second why, when they get it up here, because we are part of the body. So as we read the rest of, the next verses here in Romans 12, because we are part of the body. For by grace given to me, I tell everyone among you, this is verse 3, not to think of himself more highly than he should. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. We are part of the body. That's why God calls us to excellence, because there's people here that depend on me. And if you say this morning, well, there's nobody here that depends on me. If I come and go, that's not a big deal. That's not true. If you're not here, we're missing a part. We're missing, a finger or an elbow or a knee or whatever. And we can't fully do God's work without that part. There is no insignificant jobs. There's no insignificant parts when it comes to the body. Yes, we think of the people that sing and the praise team and the people that stand here and preach and the people that teach a class on Sunday mornings or teach Wednesday nights. We think, well, yeah, if they're not there, we're really in trouble, right? Because we don't want Carson singing. I can somewhat preach. But, outside of that, just because you're not up here doesn't mean that you're not missed, that you're not significant to the body. If you're a believer and you profess faith in Christ, then Christ has a purpose for you to be here. You're not here just to be here. Even the youth, Tammy, right?
Amen.
Amen. Even the youth. Even the people that are hundreds of years old that still come to church, you have a purpose for being here. The youth, the babies, they're all here for a purpose. And if we say, well, I'm not going to come to church today, I just don't, I'm not feeling it, then we're letting somebody else down because we're not fulfilling our part. Maybe our part is just meeting that person at the door and smiling, shaking their hand and saying, good morning. You know how important that is? Have you ever gone somewhere and you walk in and everybody just kind of stares at you? I hope that wasn't the case here when you first came to Richland, but I've gone to churches and I walk in the door and they kind of have their conversation. They turn, they kind of stare at you funny and go back to their conversation. They know I'm a new person. They've never seen me before because I've never been to this place. We need those people that are willing to do that and step out and welcome those people in. If one piece of that puzzle is missing, one gift is missing, then we don't function right. And it's not just here at Richland. We look at Richland and then we look at the association. If Richland is missing from those parts of the body, then the association can't function right. and then the state convention and so on. But we're all body, part of the body of believers world round, and we need everybody working 100%. Not slacking off, not taking days off, but being excellent in what they do and what God has given them to do. You know, and there again, God has given you a gift. And there's some gifts here that Paul lists, and I'm not going to go through those, but if you don't know what your gift is, talk to some believers that are around you. Because usually, those are the first ones to see what your gift is. Maybe before you realize what your gift is. Right? Ask them, say, hey, what do you think God has for me? Have that discussion. Pray about it. Look through Scripture. But there's probably somebody that already knows this, that, hey, I think God's calling you to this. You might not believe it at first. You might shy away from it. You might try to say, no, I'm not that person. I know I did. I know you. I say this probably every time I preach, you people are scary to stand in front of. I don't like to stand in front of people. I've never have. I never will, but God has called me to that. So I am that C student when it comes to preaching, right? I'm trying the best. I'm reaching my potential, my practice, so I can get to my potential, and hopefully I can get to a straight B student one of these days. You know, but God has called me to that, and I need to hone that in, just like you need to hone your gift in, whatever that might be. Maybe it's caring for babies. Maybe it's cooking. Maybe it's cleaning. Maybe it's just sitting and listening to people. You have a purpose. God has called you to that. We're made for excellence. But that first step that we have to take, God made us excellent to start with. God's design for us and for humanity was perfect. Everything was great. Adam and Eve living with God. You know, and then sin happened, right? They give in. They took their eye off of God. They paid attention to serpent's lies and the fall and that brokenness. You know, we're still dealing with those things today. Those disputes, those desires to be lazy, those desires not to follow what God has for us. The brokenness that sin brings. We deal with them on a daily basis. But the only way to fix that is through the gospel. Right? That Jesus came and died on the cross for our sin. You can't be excellent and not be a believer. You might be successful in the world's eyes. You might live a life that everybody wants to live, but you still have that brokenness because you haven't dealt with that sin. You don't handle that sin, the brokenness never goes away. We have to repent of that. We have to believe that Christ did die on that cross. That we can't fix our brokenness. We can't pay for our sins. There's no way that we can do that. But Christ can. When we believe in that gospel, then we're restored and we can be that excellent person. We can pursue to be that person that God has called us to be. Somebody that has compassion, that loves others, that glorifies His name in everything that we do. That we're different from the world around us. We're not just blending in. We want to stand out. We want to be excellent in God's eyes. Let us pray. Dear Father, we just thank You for today. We just thank You for the opportunity to come and worship You, Lord. And we thank You for the willingness of people that come and sing and our praise songs. And Lord, that they strive to do their best for You. That Lord, as we sing to You, that we're striving to do our best. But Lord, as we leave this place, that we take these words and we strive to do our best in every area of our life. That I don't just put on some kind of act while I'm here at church. That it's something that I strive to glorify You in how I live my life and how I treat others. And Lord, how I work for You. Not that it saves me anymore. But Lord, that it pleases You that I do that. That I strive, that I work towards excellence in Your eyes and not in men's. And Lord, as we take the Lord's Supper this morning here in a little bit and realize that Your Son is that perfect example of excellence. Lord, that He didn't question You. He came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross for each and every one of us. And Lord, with that Lord's Supper, we'll have a time of invitation. Lord, if there is somebody here today that's struggling, Lord, that has that brokenness and they just keep going back to that same thing over and over again, Lord, they can't seem to find what you want them to be, Lord, that they would come and pray. Lord, maybe they need to take that first step of, Lord, I need you. That I can't do it on my own. That I can't be the person you want me to be without your forgiveness. Lord, if that's the case, Lord, I just pray that they'd take the opportunity today, that you would work on their heart right now, that even maybe they resisted so much, Lord, that they don't come forward today, but that you would work on their heart the rest of the week, that they need to ask those questions, they need to reach out and find the truth. Lord, maybe there's somebody here today that they don't know what their gift is. They don't know what their will of life is. Maybe they're living that life is just slacking. And Lord, that they need to pray and say, God, I need to do better for you because of what you've done for me. Lord, that they would take that opportunity. And Lord, I just thank you so much for what you've done in my own life and how you've helped me. And Lord, but I also know there's a long way to go. But Lord, that I would keep striving for that and that all of us would keep striving for that. And Lord, we just thank you for your son, Jesus, and we pray these things in his name. Amen.